Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, RV, motorcycle. They take care of it all. Make sure you're fully insured. And do everything they can to save you money. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now to bring in the great Hall of Famer, Ray Dittinger. Ray, welcome. It's great to have you back on the show today.
Nice to be with you, Steve.
All right. Your thoughts, you've watched Mahomes a lot, and you've covered the greats a lot. What makes him, in your opinion, when you look at the other greats, what makes him in that category in your mind?
Well, he's got, you know, he's got all the physical requisites. He's not as big as Manning and Brady, but he's big enough, and he doesn't have Brett Favre's cannon of an arm or Elway's, but his arm is strong enough. But what he's got is just an incredible intuitive sense of how to play the position and how to see the field. He's not a Michael Vick scrambler, but he moves well enough that he can make a play when he has to. But most of all, it's just his overall command of the game, the way he kind of controls the game, and the way he never gets flustered or frustrated with. You know, I mean, this is three times now in Super Bowls that he's brought his team back from a double-digit deficit to win. Three times in the Super Bowl with all that pressure to bring a team, to rally a team, and to kind of figure out what's going on. If you're sluggish in the first quarter or the first half, kind of figure it out and then come out in the second half and make the adjustments. And the other thing that, you know, when you go back and you watch the film of him, the thing that jumps out at me is just his ability to see the field. I mean, to just kind of know where everybody is, to anticipate things. It helps a lot. It helps a lot that he has the kind of relationship and the kind of simpatico he's got with Kelce. Because when he's in trouble, he will look for Kelce. And the two of them have been playing together long enough that they always know where the other guy's going to be, and he always knows where he, you know, how he can find the hole, and he's going to be there on time, and he delivers the ball. But I think he's got tremendous physical skill. There's no question about that. But a lot of it is just his ability to be composed and poised and confident at times when the other guys on the field are not.
And you know Andy Reid so well in all of this. What makes, obviously Mahomes has great talent, but what makes the Reid Mahomes deal work since you know Andy so well?
Yeah, well, I mean, Andy's a great teacher of the quarterback position. And you look at the guys that he's had, you know, going all the way back to his days as an assistant in Green Bay. I mean, he's very, very responsible for the growth and maturation of Brett Favre. I mean, Mike Holmgren hired Andy and brought Andy in and sort of just made him and made him Brett Favre's big brother, you know. And Favre was a tough guy to coach early in his career because he was impulsive and he was impatient and, you know, he didn't always follow the script. And Andy taught him how to play the quarterback position well enough to win three MVPs. You know, and then he comes to Philadelphia and takes Donovan McNabb out of Syracuse, out of one kind of offense, and molds him into running his kind of offense, and has great success with him. You know, and then he brings back Mike Vick at a time when everybody had written Michael Vick completely off. Brings him out of, you know, out of having been away from the game, been in prison. Brings him back to where he's NFL Player of the Year. And then he goes to Kansas City, has great success with Alex Smith, but then really strikes gold with this kid. which is interesting because it seems like a long time ago now, but when he came out of Texas Tech, I mean, there was a very, very big split of opinion on Patrick Mahomes about how good he was and how good he could possibly be at the next level. I mean, he did not have great success in college. I mean, and part of that was Cliff Kingsbury was his coach, and so I think that was part of it. But, I mean, when he came out in the draft, I mean, there were some people that really liked him and thought that he could come to the NFL and be a big star, and there were other people that just thought he was kind of, you know, kind of a guy that played in this wild air raid kind of offense that, yeah, his numbers were what they were, but he doesn't really have the discipline or the patience to be a big player in the NFL. But Andy, you know, Andy didn't see any of that. I mean, Andy just saw a kid with tremendous promise, and he's coached him up to the point where now, well, there's no question he's the best quarterback in the NFL today. And at 28, I mean, there's no limit to how good he could become or how many accolades he could possibly win. I mean, people are now starting to say that, you know, maybe if everybody's assuming that Tom Brady's the greatest of all time, and he probably is it possible that at 28, you know, Patrick Mahomes could overtake him? It seems like a lot to say, but I certainly wouldn't rule it out.
All right. Now, the overtime rule has been in play for, I think, 28 games now. But none of the games went to overtime. So we hadn't seen it play out in the NFL. It's easy for me because I do college football. And I've announced a lot of overtime games, okay?
Right.
And the rule is very simple. You always go on defense first. Now, I realize you're starting from the 25. The kicking game is not a part of it. There aren't any punts or kickoffs in the college game. But you always want to see what the other guy does first because you know you get a possession. Were you surprised by Kyle Shanahan's decision to win the toss and elect to take the ball?
I was. As you said, I kind of just anticipated that that's what he's going to do. And when they made the call, I was a little bit surprised. But then I heard Shanahan's explanation after the game, and it kind of made sense to me. In that, okay, if we get the ball and we score, and they get the ball and they match us, now the game becomes sudden death, and I want the ball. You know, if we score, they score, now it becomes a sudden death game, a true sudden death game. And in that case, I want the ball. And so that was his reasoning. And although it surprised me at the time, when I heard him explain it, I kind of understood.
Yeah, I understood to a point, except when you talk to you listen to the Kansas City people, if it was matching a touchdown, they were going to go for two. So,
right.
So it's like, okay, either way. What do you think of the state of the game right now, Ray? I mean, we just watched the Super Bowl. There was a lot of fun that went to overtime. What do you think about the state of it at this point?
I thought it was not a very good regular season. I think the game yesterday, to send it off with a great championship game, which that was, with a lot of drama and a lot of really good players and, you know, two big-time coaches going back and forth and overtime. I mean, it was a great finish. It was a game that I think everybody, except for the 49er fans, could walk away feeling pretty satisfied. But yeah, I look back over the regular season, and, Steve, I got to be honest, I didn't think it was very good. I thought that there was a lot of spotty play. I thought that there were a lot of just flat-out bad teams that resulted in bad games. Mm-hmm. And I thought maybe one of the biggest things of all, and this was consistent week in and week out, was the officiating was just terrible.
Yes,
I mean, the NFL officiating was just awful this year. And I know that people in Philadelphia are, you know, I mean, they're dismayed because their season unraveled and they crash and burned. But that's, you know, that's just a fan's perspective. I'm trying to take the bigger picture of what the overall health of the league was this year. And I didn't think it was very good. I thought the general level of play was not very good. But more than anything else, just week in and week out, I was just, the officiating was just so bad. I thought that I don't know what the league's going to do about it, but they certainly have to take a good hard look at it because it hasn't been good for a while now, but I thought this year it might have been worse than it's ever been.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that is a huge problem that the league has right now. I'm not sure how to solve it, but the fans and the game deserve better than what they got from the officials this year. all the way
through. Yeah, no question. And you know, a lot of it to me is, I mean, you look at the NFL rule book now, and it's 8 inches thick. And
right.
Every year they go in and they add more. You know, they add more stuff to the rules. They add more nuance to it. They add more judgment. And I think it's just, making the game. The game was probably always hard to officiate, but the speed of it, but I think they've made it harder because they're asking more of the officials now in terms of judging what somebody was thinking in certain plays. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know how you do that. It doesn't get any better. Like I say to people sometimes when we're talking about these things, I say, can anybody in this room tell me what a catch is?
Yes.
You know, raise your hand if anybody here can tell me what's a catch in the National Football League, because I don't know. It changes from crew to crew. It changes from week to week. And in a league where they throw the ball all the time, to me that's one of the most frustrating things is that one basic idea, what's a catch, seems to just have the people of the NFL flummoxed, and no one seems to have an answer for it.
It's unbelievable. What about now? You and I both know that over-the-air television has been a critical component to the growth and success of the league, both financially and in viewership. They took the one playoff game between Miami and Kansas City, and it was Peacock exclusive. Next year it's going to be Amazon Prime exclusive. What do you think about what the NFL is thinking in that regard, considering what over-the-air TV has meant to the reasons they're at the point they're at right now?
Yeah, I hate it.
Yes,
I'm sure you're not surprised to hear me say that as somebody who is very much a traditionalist and an old schooler, and I make no apologies for that. But yeah, I thought it was I hated the idea. And I fear that we're going to go more down that road. I don't think we're going to stop. I don't think this was a one-off. You know, I think we're going to see it again. And if they get the kind of numbers and they generate the kind of revenue that they're hoping to generate, we're going to see it's going to grow. But you know, I just think that it is such a disservice to the NFL fans and the people that have supported this league and made this game what it is now, which is far and away the biggest game in this country, if not the world. You know, to now all of a sudden, now you're going to start charging people for something they've always had for free. I just think it's wrong. But I think that it is such a I hate to say this, but it is such a greedy institution,
yes.
The NFL. I mean, they just want to keep squeezing and squeezing and squeezing and squeezing to get more money, you know. And it sort of gets back to, I was talking to somebody the other day about, oh, the Eagles are going to play in São Paulo, Brazil. Wow,
yeah.
The NFL is going to South America, and my response is, yeah, why? Why?
Right.
Why are you taking your regular season opener, one of the Eagles' home games, by the way, and you're moving it to São Paulo, Brazil? That's progress? You know, to me, all the stuff that we've just talked about, Steve, all the issues with the league, especially the officiating, the fact that the replay thing has become just a boondoggle, that every time you do it, they say it's supposed to go fast and it just seems to go slower.
Right.
The idea that people can't describe anything as simple as what's a catch, nobody knows. I mean, all you got all of these issues with this game right now, and plus, you know, the issues with injuries and the complaints about the turf and the Players Association wants to get rid of our. You got all this stuff, real serious stuff about your game going on that really needs study and really needs to be resolved. And you're worried about, should we take games to Brazil? I think we should maybe take a couple more games to Germany. I think, you know, come on. Do a better job with your game. Do a better job of serving your public. Do a better job serving the people who have built the NFL to what it is now. Don't worry about trying to sell T-shirts in Dusseldorf, okay?
Yes.
Just try and make your game better.
And that was going to be my next question, and you echoed everything I've thought. I mean, you're going to fly 9 hours to Sao Paulo. Now I realize, you know, it's the first game, so you can do that. But the fans of Philadelphia, their home game, helped make this league what it is in this country. They deserve to have the game in Philadelphia. That's me.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. But there's just so much avarice among among the owners. I mean, they just at a certain point, it almost gets back to the the Charlie Sheen question in the movie Wall Street. You know, how many how many speedboats can you water ski behind? You know, how much is enough? You know, just if I had any role in the league office, if I had anybody, if anybody's ear, that's what I would say. I would say just take care of your game. I mean, there's a lot that it's a great game, and you watch a game like yesterday, and you're reminded of just how great a game it is. But I mean, there are so many things that are wrong with it, and there are so many questions, and there's so many things about it that are unsatisfying on a weekend and week out basis. You know, work on curing those. Work on making your game as good as it can be for the benefit of the coaches and the players, and most of all the fans. You don't have to worry about trying to globalize your game, as Roger likes to keep saying. I mean, that's his big initiative. How about if your initiative is just making your game better? Make your game as good as it can be. I think that would be better for everybody.
Yeah, I know. I've got a basketball game at the end of the month at Iowa on a Tuesday night at 9 o'clock, which means everybody's getting back about 4, 4:30 in the morning. The running joke we have is, don't forget, it's all about the kids.
You're right. And to take that one step further, what's the one thing that Roger Goodell always says? I mean, always says whenever he gets near a microphone. I've heard him say it 1,000 times. It's all about our fans.
Yep.
It's all about our fans, is what he says. Well, if it's all about your fans, why are you putting games on pay-per-view? You know, right. If it's all about your fans, you know, I mean, it seems to be a basic contradiction here. I mean, it's an easy thing for him to say, and there's no question the league owes its fans a tremendous debt because they built the league into what it is right now. But if it's really all about the fans, then you're not going to be taking home games away from your fans, and you're not going to be asking TV, you're not going to be asking NFL fans to pay to see other games and playoff games. And, you know, do I think that we're ever going to live to see the day where it'll be a pay-per-view Super Bowl? I don't think so. I mean, I don't know that it will. I don't think it will ever go that far, but I can't tell you that it absolutely won't.
Right. No, because Amazon is going to pay, like Peacock did this year, NBC. They're paying $110 million for that game. Right?
Yep.
They're gladly taking the $110 million. They're gladly going over to Germany. They're gladly going over to England. Now they're going to go to Brazil. They're talking about some other game someplace else. And there's a triangle, Ray. Every time there's a labor dispute, you know that what do the players always say? Hey, without us, there's no game.
Exactly.
Well, you and I both know that without having an owner, there's no money, there's no game either. But here's the part of the triangle never anybody ever talks about. No fans, no game. Okay,
right.
You and I remember the WFL. No fans, no game.
Right. No question. I remember when there was one of those labor stoppages when the league actually did shut down. I don't know if it was 84 or 87. But I remember I was on some panel, and they were arguing back and forth. And, you know, the players were saying, we are the game. And the owners were saying, no, we are the game. And I said, you don't get it. The game is the game. The game
right.
is the game.
Yes.
You know, that's really what the people care about. And if they don't care, you know, the players come and go. I hate to say that, but it's true. And they don't really care a whit about the owners because they know they're just rich guys that are making more money.
Right.
What the fans love and what the fans keep coming back for and what really has been responsible for the growth of the league is the game. The game is so damn good. Well, you know, don't lose sight of that. But I fear that in the quest to build this thing into an even bigger money-making colossus than it is right now, that's all they're thinking about, is how can we make more money? Whereas I would be thinking about how can we make it a better game.
Right, because in the end, making it a better game will make you more money.
Oh, no question. Yeah. And you're dealing with other stuff, Steve, like, you know, I mean, you know, now they want to do two games on Monday night. And, you know, now they've got, you know, you got 1 o'clock games on Sunday, 4 o'clock games on Sunday, you got Sunday night games, you got Thursday night games, and late in the season you got doubleheaders on Saturday. And, you know, I mean, they're trying. I guarantee you there are people within the league that would love to see an NFL game on TV every night.
Yeah.
Every night. And they're trying to make the NFL into the NBA, and it's not. It's not. There's, you know, football, pro football isn't the same as pro basketball. It's coaching. It's different. The playing is different for sure. But if they could do what the NBA does, which is have games on TV every night, they would do it. And would it hurt the product? Absolutely. Would it be tougher on your coaches? Absolutely. Would it be tougher on your players? No question. Yeah. The injuries would go up. But they don't care. If they can make money doing it, they'll try to do it.
This has been as fascinating a conversation as I could have asked for. Ray, thanks so much. Really appreciate it. That was terrific.
Oh, my pleasure, Steve. Always a pleasure talking to you. When you see my buddy Dick Girardi, tell him I said hi.
I will see him on Wednesday night, as a matter of fact. So we just got back from Chicago yesterday.
Tell DJ I said hello. He's one of my favorite guys.
Yeah, he's the best. Thank you so much. And I will, Ray. Thanks so much.
Okay, take care, Steve. Bye-bye.
Yeah, DJ and I just got back from Chicago last night. And in fact, he stayed overnight here. He watched the game here in State College, as a matter of fact. And then he went back to his house in Yardley. So, and he'll make his way back. But I'm definitely going to tell DJ Ray said hi. All right, we'll take a break. Let's see here. Oh. The suit to his credit lost every prop bet. Wow. And he put in a protest on the Reba McEntire national anthem. I only heard it on the radio, so I didn't see it. So, but yeah. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Prudy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Prudy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to PurdyInsurance.com. Auto, home, light business, boat, motorcycle, RV, bundles. They'll do everything they can to save you money, but they want to make sure you're fully insured. Customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. The suit texted me. He wanted everybody to know that he won the coin flip and he won the Reba McEntire bet on over-under on the national anthem. I have no idea how long it went.
I was reading, I think it was 80 seconds or 90 seconds, and she said her first brave under and said brave twice for some reason, I guess, and that went, made it go over, so they paid off both. I wasn't really paying that close attention to the national anthem.
I was in the car.
I was trying to gather my meal for kickoff.
Oh, he just texted me. It's 93 seconds.
I feel like he had his stopwatch.
And that is correct, Todd. Of course, he spelled your name T-O-O-D, Tood.
I've been called worse.
I mean, we continue in life to circle this fogged-in airport known as his life. Oh, mercy. All right. Kyle Shanahan talk with Peter King about the gambling aspect of all this. Now, the suit kind of perked up. Really? Oh, great. Terrific. Where is it here? And this is how I feel about it. And I've talked about this repeatedly in my career, that every game takes on its own personality. Every game. And people will ask me before a game, how do you think it's going to play out? And I'll be honest with you. I'll see some matchups I really like if they're exploited. You feel like Penn State's in great shape, or they just have better talent, whatever, especially in certain games. You look at it and go, look, they're going to win this game by whatever. Okay? But I've done a lot of other games in my career where suddenly Bucknell beats Penn State in basketball on December 2nd. Well, come on. Penn State's the prohibitive favorite going into that game. Okay, they play 100 times. Penn State probably wins 98. But not that day. Not that day. John and his crew played a great game. Right? So now let's get to Kyle Shanahan. And this really does echo what I've talked about. Quote, and this is what he told Peter King of Football Morning in America. It always comes down to one game, 3 hours. Who the hell knows what happens in those 3 hours? I've seen games that I thought would be low scoring turn into a shootout, a throwing fest. I've seen games that I thought would be in the 30s turn into 13-10 at the end. It really could be anything, no matter what type of offense or defense you have. That's what you have to realize as you go through all of this, all the scouting, all the preparation. It's how do you win this game? These two teams have 2 weeks to think about every possible way to be prepared. Kansas City does it. We do it. Okay? Then once the kickoff goes, then you find out how it's going. It changes as you go through the game. That's why you never stop thinking. You never stop preparing, adjusting. It's fun. It's a constant challenge. That's why I can't believe people gamble on this stuff. I do this for a living, and I have no clue. No clue. I'm not just saying that. What's so cool about football is it can go any way. But to gamble on it? Man, that's crazy. And he's not wrong. He's not wrong. Right? I do this for a living game after game after game after game. Okay? I just did the game at Northwestern yesterday. Ended up 68-65. To be honest with you, Dick and I both thought it'd be a game where you had to score at least 75 to win. We really thought that. You had to score at least 75 to win the game. That's what we thought going in, right? Now, sometimes you nail it right on the money. So let's talk about Iowa. Dick said straight out, Dick Girardi, in the pregame show, that Penn State needed at least 80 to win. Well, they got 89, and they won the game 89-79. Spot on. Well, this was another game based on the offense that Northwestern has, and they have a very good offense, that you probably need at least 75 to win. Right? Now, if you got the 75, Penn State would have won. But Northwestern got the 68 and won. Shot only 32%. Is a -3.5 per game rebounding, but won the rebounding battle yesterday and outscored Penn State 16-3 in second chance points. That's where they won the game. Every game is different. Every game brings with it. I always love the blank canvas aspect to it. But people gamble on this. And we sit here on shows, and I usually just talk about what I think the keys are. I never sit there and tell you what I think. I never sit here on the show and tell you, well, they do this, they'll win, they do that, they won. I'll just go through like some of the key matchups, keys of the game that you need to go through. And then you see how it plays out after that. Because I don't know. I do this every game. So, I mean, do I know, like, looking at, like, okay, they play Ohio State. Burke's a tough matchup for anybody. Terrific corner. But what if Burke has a bad day? Right? He's capable of it. Right? I'll give you a good example, a recent example. Penn State's playing Minnesota in basketball. Minnesota at the free throw line in a 9-game span leading into the game as a team shot 58% from the free throw line. Now, a 9-game stretch is not a small sample size. This wasn't as if they had back-to-back games and they shot 58%, but for the season they're at 74 or something like that. No. They went 9 games and shot 58%, and it cost them at home the Wisconsin game. And then they come in against Penn State and shoot 18-22. Okay? Now, it had nothing to do with Penn State's free throw defense. Right? Okay. They hit them. You don't know on a given day, a given night. Luke Hunger yesterday, 5 of 17 in threes. Hadn't taken a three in several games. Guess what? He goes out there and at the shot clock buzzer from the wing hit a three. Okay. You don't know. You don't know. Now, there's certain things that you look at. For example, what's made Northwestern 7-1 now in games decided by 5 points or less? Because, for one thing, a prerequisite is you have to have a great closer. Now, to his credit, Ace Baldwin is that. Ace is something like 28-32 or some number like that in the final 4 minutes when the game's on the line. But Bowie's the same way. Bowie is like, he is a great closer at the free throw line. Handling the ball, not turning it over, taking the foul where he has to, and he gets to the line and he hits him. He's just a great, you, every team that's really good has to have a great closer out there. And they're 7-1. Well, Northwestern has lost one home game all season. And they've lost one game all season by 5 points or less. Guess who did that to them?
I know this. We already did this quiz. Chicago State.
Chicago State. Chicago State. Right? Because you want to know why Chicago State did that to them? You don't know. You never know. I mean, because that's just the way it is. And that's what makes this a that's what makes sports so fascinating. So fascinating to me is that you go in and you think you know, and when the game's over, you're like, okay, we don't know anything. Okay? I mean, do you want to know what Chicago State is currently ranked in the country? 298 in the KenPom numbers. 298. Now, to their credit, they're 11-17. But their wins over are over East West, Stetson. They went through a long losing streak where they lost to Wisconsin, Cal Baptist, DePaul, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, UTEP. All right? But they beat Northwestern after they lost to St. Thomas. They lost to St. Thomas. That's out of St. Paul, Minnesota.
I was going to say, okay? The island?
Yeah, no. Yeah. St. Thomas is in St. Paul. And St. Thomas is Division One. But they lost to St. Thomas by 16 points at home and then went to Northwestern and won. You don't know in this sport. You don't know. And that's what makes sports so fascinating to me is that as much as we all think we know, you know, and I spend 10 hours a week on here with you pretending I know what I'm talking about. I always make that joke. I'm going to go and pretend I know what I'm talking about. All right? And I do a lot of research on things and watch a lot of video and things like that. But once the game starts, it's a blank canvas, and I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't. And that's why, like, you talk about gambling. Don't look at me. I have no idea. I mean, don't know. And it's, to me, sports is fascinating. I mean, if you were to tell me in October the Eagles would end up the way they did, right? I saw signs that weren't great, right? But, you know, that's just trying to read some tea leaves watching how they were playing the game. But to see it end the way it did, I mean, you know, especially the Arizona game, every game takes on its own personality. Every team, right, takes on its own personality. And some days, it's Penn State one time was 0-13 in the Big Ten. And they played second-ranked Michigan. And Michigan's up by 14 points in the second half. And Penn State came back and won the game. You don't know. You just don't know. And you think you know. You think you have a pretty good read on it. And then the game plays out, and it plays out differently. Like, I didn't expect this kind of game. Sometimes you say it's going to be a shootout, and it turns out to be a shootout. Other times you say it's going to be a low-scoring game, and it turns out it's a low-scoring game. But how many times in your life you say, hey, this game is going to be a shootout, and all of a sudden it's 13-10 in the fourth quarter. Like, okay. All right. It's, and like Kyle Shanahan says, and you people gamble on this? I mean, the suit's out there betting on a national anthem as to how long it's going to be. For all we know, she's in a hurry. I have no idea.
Well, one of the things I often wonder about that is they have to know what the prop bet is too, right? Doesn't Reba know?
Of course they do.
You know, don't you have some consideration there going, let's do 91 seconds and throw everybody into a tizzy.
I mean, and not only that, let's have fun. I think I'll bet on myself. Yeah. I guess she's allowed to. Right? I think she is.
I think she is.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, do pretty well. Meanwhile, the suit was confident it would be over. And yeah.
I don't know if we touched on this a couple weeks ago, but it can't be any dumber than those Alabama baseball coach and the guy that placed that bet for him.
Again, but see, to me, the bigger story on that is the diligence of the Ohio Gambling Commission, or at least they figured it out. The bet was made in Cincinnati. It was not made in Baton Rouge, Tuscaloosa, Birmingham, Montgomery, Huntsville. It wasn't made in any of those places. Okay? It was made in Cincinnati, and they figured it out. See, that's the part that, for gamblers out there, should make you wary, that they can figure it out.
I was going to say, I'm more impressed that they figure out some of the players that did. I just, when they sentenced the guy, he actually told them what he was doing when he placed the bet.
Yeah.
Be a little smarter than that.
Remarkable. Remarkable. Yes. Yes, there's...
I'm waiting for a call from a friend at Alabama to tell me if the guy's pitching or not.
Right, exactly. Well done. Well done. And then for Iowa, as I've said before, what happened with Iowa and Iowa State? What happened with Iowa and Iowa State, it tells you the players know the rules. They're all using aliases.
Yeah.
They know the rules. All right, we'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay. Not exactly losing gracefully yesterday with the Iowa women's basketball team. Now, in the Big Ten, the opposing team, the road team, goes first, okay? Because they have to get out of there. But I guess yesterday in Nebraska, their players were up on the podium before Iowa. And Lisa Bluter was in the hallway and screaming. You could hear her screaming in the background. We've got a flight to catch. This is BS. This is not Big Ten protocol. Plus, they play music while you shoot free throws. Like, okay, look. Meanwhile, the Nebraska players just stopped and looked over. And at least nothing was said about them, you know, as players being up there. But, man, you got to, like, losing's hard. It's really hard. But you got to, you know, especially as the leader of the team, you got to, come on, that's uncalled for. Now, did Nebraska violate it and put their people? Yeah, I got that. But that's a call to be made later. And it didn't help that Caitlin Clark didn't score a single point in the fourth quarter. So, yeah.
At least you didn't pull a John Chaney and come in after somebody.
Oh, Dick Girardi and I, when we were up at UMass, we recreated that. We had fun. We were in the exact room where it took place. Oh, no. No, we actually up at UMass like 2 years ago. Like, hey, let's go to... Dick, where's the room? Because I'd never been in the Mullen Center before. I'd done UMass games at Corey X. Cage and the Springfield Civic Center, but never in that building. So I said, take me to the room. So we went to the room and said, here we go.
I bet. I was going to say, now that you say that, Dick was there for that game, I bet, wasn't he?
Dick, I don't think was at the game. I think Mike Kern covered it.
Okay.
I think. But, I mean, Dick's seen it enough times. and believe me, there's a long list of people that didn't want to stop him.
I'm sure there still is a long list of people that still didn't want him to stop.
Oh, goodness gracious. Today's show has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And by the way, our thanks to Ray Dittinger. That was, I think, as fascinating a conversation as we've had. And we're going to have another one tomorrow with Neil Coulong. We're going to talk about some of the same things. Why are you fooling around with games in Sao Paulo and Frankfurt and so forth? Take care of the game in this country and your fans here in this country. We can debate whether... By the way, Hassan Reddick wants to be traded.